The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. And Tony, you know I love working with you, so what do you like about working with me?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You're not Levitard.
Wow.
Okay.
That's
a funny line.
Safely.
The essence of all humor is to make fun of someone else. So we made
That's
fun
right.
of Levitard.
And
I do love Levitard.
Objectively, I'm less sweaty than Levitard. I am thinner than him. I'm arguably better looking. I think those are also facts journalistically, as well as great humor principles, as you've now alluded to.
Absolutely. But I also love Levitard. Love you.
Yeah,
love
I guess
Levitard.
I do too.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Dak Prescott has a huge game. And where's Wilbon? In for him today is our great friend, the host of the ESPN Daily Podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre.
Yes.
It's getting weaker the more you're here.
One
you know
strong
what I'm saying?
Voice.
And we begin today with Tampa Bay beginning their defense of the Super Bowl by barely beating Dallas in what could actually turn out to be the best game of the year. It came down to a final last-minute drive by Tampa Bay and a winning field goal. Now, we could go overboard on how great Tom Brady was, but Dak Prescott was pretty much as good. Dallas scored 28 points. They were leading with 10 seconds to play. Pablo, should the Cowboys be encouraged or discouraged?
They should be encouraged, Tony, because the key is so much happiness in life I've come to appreciate in my almost 36 years on this planet. It's low expectations. The fact that they didn't expect to win, the fact that Jerry Jones was talking about them as David, the richest franchise in sports, as the David versus the Goliath here, and Dak Prescott, Tony, who, as you know, had two surgeries, hadn't thrown a football in a real game in 333 days, the fact that he took everything the Bucs defense, which is excellent, had to throw at him. They shut down the Cowboys running game. He threw the ball, Dak did 58 times. They blitzed him almost 40% of the time, and he shredded that blitz. A really strong blitz from the Buccaneers, and he was awesome. The fact that their passing game was really, really good, and the fact that they should have won this game because their kicker missed two field goals and an extra point, all of this says encouraging until you get to the present tense and you just realize, wait a minute, Lyle Collins, the guy who's another key offensive lineman for us, is now out for 5 games for substance abuse issues. Like, it's great news. The question is, how sustainable is the great feeling?
So I'm going to back away from your position just a little bit because I'm of two minds on this particular question. In terms of the game itself, Dallas has to be kicking itself that it lost that game. Dallas
yes.
turned over Tampa Bay 4 times. They had a +3 on turnover, and they did not win that game. I think that is actually discouraging because it was in their hands. In terms of encouraging, they are leading the game late against the Super Bowl champs. They're on the road against a team that has all 22 starters returning, and they get a great performance out of their quarterback. And in fact, they look like a playoff team at that point. I sat here yesterday with Wilbon, and I said, and this is a direct quote, I'm pretty much dacked out at this point in my life. I wanted to get rid of Dak Prescott. I may have been premature in that.
Yeah, I got bad news for you,
Tony. He looked terrific.
Yeah.
He looked like he was worth the money. He looked like everything that people expected of him and were hopeful about him. He looked that good. And they looked like a playoff team last night.
But here's where all of this is even more conditional on top of the offensive line chaos, because of course they did this. They protected Dak without Zach Martin, and now they have this issue with Collins. The conditionality of all of this, though, Tony, what if they miss the playoffs by 1 game? Right? Like, it's very encouraging to rise above the expectations that are low, but if they're in a dogfight with Washington and they look back at this and they say, Greg Zuerlein's the reason we're not a playoff team, that's the opposite of encouraging.
Yeah. No, and I understand that, though. They really did look good. And they were, if they call offensive pass interference on Chris Godwin, maybe they actually win that game. I don't want to let this story go without saying this, though. Dak Prescott is not Tom Brady. Nobody is, and nobody was. Tom Brady is 44 years old and went down the field whenever he had to go down the field using multiple receivers. Didn't get hurt at all. Had another last-minute winning drive. The context of how he wins games is amazing. He is extra-worldly, Tom Brady. He is. Yeah,
Tony, he was painting the black, to borrow a baseball metaphor. It was almost an honor by the end of it. It was an honor for the Cowboys to have been defeated in the classic Tom Brady fashion, which is a testament to both the expectations of Dallas and, of course, to the man who did it to them. But, Tony, Sunday's marquee game, that features the Browns and the Chiefs because Kansas City, let's remember, eliminated Cleveland in the playoffs last season on their way to the Super Bowl, but hopes are now really high for Baker Mayfield's team to improve on last year's 11-5 record. So do you see the winner of that game as the favorite to win the entire AFC?
So this is sort of a trick question the way I look at it. I'm tempted to say yes, but if Cleveland wins the game, I'm not sure I'm going to say yes. As I'm not... You know, now if they go on the road and they win convincingly, then maybe I say yes. It's hard for me to just eliminate Tennessee. It's hard for me to just eliminate Buffalo.
Yes.
Baltimore, I think, has eliminated itself with a bunch of injuries. And, you know, in Indianapolis, I wrote down like three teams, Miami, New England, Indianapolis, I'm not sold yet. But if there's one team I'm sold on, it's Kansas City. So... to answer the question directly, if Kansas City is the winner tonight, then yes, I think the Super Bowl team comes from this game, yes.
So that is a no, but with a big asterisk, in which case, yes, you will absolutely claim victory over this question. But look, to me, Tony, Cleveland is a very interesting team in the context of a Kansas City matchup, because the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes, and by the way, I believe that Patrick Mahomes is basically a demigod at this point. I believe that they are the favorite in the AFC with a bullet, as you do, but I also believe that the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes, Tony, he was being chased around the field by a really good defensive line. And the Chiefs' offensive line now has been rebuilt, we are told. We are told because we haven't seen it yet in the regular season. And what does Cleveland do? They not only have lots of depth at every position, but their edge rushers are arguably the best in the NFL. Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, Dekerrick McKinley, all of these guys are going to chase Mahomes. And so if there is a game that the Chiefs should be worried about, I think more than any other one in the regular season, it's this specific one.
No, and you may very well be right about that. The one point that I would make about Cleveland is what happened last year to Cleveland is testimony to what good coaching can do. Mm. They pick up a first-year coach, Stefanski, I believe his name is.
Yep.
And he has the same basic personnel that Freddie Kitchens had and Hugh Jackson had, and he wins right away. And he did not have Odell Beckham Jr. You know, I mean, this is good coaching can take you a long way. I like Baker Mayfield. I like his commercials more than I like
his
play.
He's so good at commercials.
But I still think he's pretty good. You know, is an overall number one draft pick. As you say, they've got great receivers there. Maybe it is their year, though, in their division, as good as they look. If Ben Roethlisberger has a true renaissance, they contend with Cleveland as well. Let us move now to tennis. Last night, two unseeded and previously unknown teenagers, Leila Fernandez and Emma Raducanu, I hope I get that right, made it through to the finals of the U.S. Open. Raducanu is not just unseeded. She had to win three qualifying matches to even get into the draw. Mm. It's the first time in the Open era that spans over 50 years that two unseeded players, men or women, are in a major final. Pablo, what do you make of this?
Tony, my family group chat has been exploding because Leila Fernandez, get out of the way here up top, half Filipino, okay? This is a huge deal for us. The other person, Emma Raducanu, half Chinese, a big deal in Asian American sports or Asian history because one of them's from Canada, et cetera, et cetera. So, all of which is to say that when you are a young person, Tony, and you show up on the big stage, as I sometimes feel that I do with you, the young person's supposed to be the nervous one, right? I'm supposed to have my hands shaking and all of that. What we saw in these matches to get to the final of the U.S. Open is that that dynamic had flipped entirely. It was remarkable to see two teenagers, combined age 37 years old, to be that confident, supremely in command over older players who bent under the pressure while they did the opposite.
Not only if you combine their ages, are you nowhere close to my age, you're nowhere close to Tom Brady's age either, who we
That's
just talked about. Look, Fernandez is spectacular to watch. The crowd loves her. She's tremendously demonstrative. She's in love with herself and all the surroundings. and she feeds off all of it, and she's been great. And I want to get these numbers correct. She took out the number 3, the number 16, the number 5, and the number 2. All credit to her.
Crazy, man.
But this other person wasn't in the draw. She had to go 3 matches to get in. Fernandez walks into this tournament rated number 73. Raducanu comes in 150, not in. She came into Wimbledon 338, and she hasn't lost a set. She hasn't even been pushed to a tiebreak at this point. You are watching incredible history. I have no idea if 3 years from now, both of them are going to be great players. They're arriving on stage at the right age to be great players, but they could sink right back into the ooze. I have absolutely no idea. What I'm pretty sure of, though, is that this tournament, with all that was missing, with Serena out, with Federer out, with Nadal out, finally there is someone right there that you can cheer for, people that take joy in the playing of the sport, and that is a win for them and for the tournament. It is.
Tony, on paper, no one should have been excited about an outcome like this because here are two very anonymous people, but not since, I believe, 1999, and you're more of a tennis historian than I am, of course, but I believe not since 1999 when you had, I believe it was Serena Williams and Hingis, I think, Martina Hingis, had we had two teenagers in a final like this. So to me, it may not be the youth movement, maybe it's a blip on a radar, but the fact that it's happening right in front of that crowd, it's right theater, and it's amazing to watch.
1999, I was already 65 years old. I don't remember 1999. Let's take a break. Coming up, two former Alabama quarterbacks face each other on Sunday. Which one would you rather have?
And Tony, would you rather head into the season with Sam Darnold or the guy who replaced him on the Jets, Zach Wilson, because toss-up apparently is next.
Jets quarterbacks for 600, shut up. We do this old Jets quarterback.
What do you think Adam Gase constantly is doing?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 58th birthday, Randy Johnson, the big unit. Over the course of his Hall of Fame career, Johnson won 303 games and 5 Cy Youngs. He led his league in ERA 4 times and strikeouts 9 times. In fact, Johnson has more strikeouts than any left-hander ever and trails only Nolan Ryan overall. Johnson was fearsome on the mound, standing 6'10 and throwing the ball almost 100 miles an hour. You couldn't blame a batter for bailing out, as John Kruk comically did in an All-Star game. In 1998, Johnson was traded at the deadline from last place Seattle to first place Houston. And all he did on Houston was go 10-1 with a 1.28 ERA. So when I talk about Max Scherzer going 5-0 for the Dodgers with a 1.05 ERA after a similar trade, Johnson is the pitcher Scherzer is chasing. Johnson has a no-hitter, a perfect game, and a World Series ring. What else is there?
I love, Tony, that Randy Johnson is now a semi-professional photographer. He is taking photos as a matter of passion. I also love that he is so good, to your point, that a man named Randy Johnson that we've nicknamed the Big Unit, we don't even stop to laugh at any of that, despite the fact that it's the most explicit nickname, I think, in sports history.
Happy anniversary, Peyton and Eli Manning. On this day 15 years ago, Peyton faced little brother Eli for the first time, with the Colts prevailing over the Giants 26-21. It was the first time brothers had ever started against each other as quarterbacks in NFL history. The Mannings would play against each other just two more times. Peyton would win both games, one with Indianapolis and one with Denver. Both, of course, went on to win two Super Bowls apiece. On Monday, the two will co-host an alternate version of the Monday Night Football game between Baltimore and Las Vegas on ESPN2 and the ESPN Plus streaming service. I think this could become a cult classic. Yeah. Peyton is so good on TV, and the sibling rivalry with Eli could be hysterically entertaining. I would like to be a part of it, providing I could sit in my house and talk and then go to sleep at halftime.
I also want you to be a part of it, Tony, under the following condition, though. I want you to have a camera on you even while you're sleeping. That should be a picture-in-picture thing. I want you with a sleeping cap and like a button-up pajama suit, and you have to be sleeping, and they have to whisper while you're sleeping.
I'm not some sort of trained dog. I can't do that. Happy trails to a four-game series for the Yankees. Toronto completed a sweep of the Yankees last night, 6-4, in a game that saw Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit his 42nd home run. The Blue Jays have now won eight straight. They're only a half game behind the Yankees in the wild card. The Yankees were not only swept, they never had the lead in any game. That's the first time this happened to the Yankees since 1924.
Ugh.
According to Elias, the Yankees have played 1,250 series of four games or more since then. The Yankees stink now. They've lost six in a row and 10 of 12. Vlad Guerrero Jr., he does not stink now. He is in position to be the first player to win the Triple Crown since Miguel Cabrera in 2012. And before that, it was Carl Yastrzemski in 1967. Guerrero leads the American League in batting average. He's one home run behind Shohei Ohtani and four RBI off the lead. It is possible he could lead both leagues in all three categories, and that hasn't been done since Mickey Mantle in 1956.
Tony, the Yankees are, there's a bipolarity to them, which has been very jarring for me to process. When they are great, they are 13 in a row great. When they are bad, they're as you described. I was saying recently, hey, turns out money solves all of life's problems, and now I have to sort of walk that back if the Yankees end up missing the playoffs because the Blue Jays beat them.
One omission, Major League Baseball extended Trevor Bauer's lead to the end of the season in the playoffs. Of course they did.
Yeah.
Let's go to the big finish. The Ravens signed running back Latavius Murray. Is that significant?
Absolutely. They need him. My fantasy team just picked him up. In fact, number 12 Oregon and number 3 Ohio State play tomorrow, Tony. Who you got?
This is a big alliance game. This is what we're going to see in the future. I've got Ohio State. Red Sox starter Chris Sale tested positive for COVID. He will miss Sunday's start. What is going on there? Is that significant?
Of course it's significant. They're a game ahead of the Yankees, one and a half games ahead of the Blue Jays. Meanwhile, head coaches Deion Sanders and Eddie George, Tony, they're facing each other this weekend. Are you excited?
I have always liked Deion Sanders, even when he played for Washington. And he would stay late and just chat with me and make it easy to write a column. I find myself rooting for him. Last one, does Djokovic beat Zverev? I hope I got that right tonight. And advance to the U.S. Open men's final.
I think he does, even though the entire borough of Queens will be booing him as they have the entire tournament. It does not matter who's that good.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you for watching. And please check out ESPN Daily on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get good podcasts.
Okay, so I've got a shout out to Team Coco. It's a team I play with on holiday tournaments at Columbia. We shot 59. We were 4, 59. We got 14th net. We got shot credit.